Hello, welcome back to Your Brain Uncovered. Today on this bite-sized episode, we're going to be tuning into the book Musicophilia, which was written by Oliver Sacks, one and only. So this is a volume on neurological musings, pretty much the impact of music on our brains. So now, it's a remarkable fact if I merely just say Harry Potter's theme song, or I mention a trendy song, you'll probably start humming it to yourself just immediately. I mean, we take it for granted, but how's it even possible? And what is going on in our brains? So Oliver Sacks is the neurologist author of The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Now here, he devotes a book to the cognitive miracles of music. It really is a very odd business, to be honest. So yeah, I grabbed a hold of the book, and it was a very deep, like, sympathetic and deeply warm, you know, study about the pathologies of musical response. And what might that teach us, you know, about normal faculties of music? Now, reports on, you know, new findings from anatomy, such as there was this one he mentioned about a musician's brain, how it's easily distinguishable on a scan from those of others. And the passage from ear to brain is not a one-way conduct, but, you know, it works both ways. Oh, and he even told us how the brain is able to tune the ears as well, as it were. So, yeah, but mostly musicophilia is about, you know, mysterious and currently inexplicable ways in which music just, you know, affects the brain, for good or ill. And when it affects the brain, it affects the whole person, as, you know, Plato knew. Seeking to ban some type of music from his republic, you know? Or Shakespeare as well, as he said, "This music mads me. Let it no sound no more." So yeah, pretty much it's been known all throughout history. Sacks just had to, you know, shed light on it. That's all. Now, Sacks was able to tell some very moving stories about those, you know, with terrifying profound amnesia or Alzheimer's disease, from whom music can, you know, restore them to themselves. Now, people with aphasia, I don't know if you've heard of aphasia, you know, can be taught to speak again through singing. On the other hand, previously healthy people begin to have musical hallucinations blasted by what they so-called, you know, ghostly music during even, like, waking hours. And others having seizures in response to music. And this is, by the way, known as musicogenic epilepsy, which intriguingly can be selective. Now, one woman, Sacks cites, had seizure only in response to, you know, modern music, which is weird, right? But never in response to, you know, classical or romantic music. And her husband, who in fact was a composer of the type of music she had seizures from, had to just, you know, leave her. But yeah, can you get a hint? So yeah, pretty much. And, but yeah, such violent response to certain music might be more common than suspected. Many people, one researcher thought, like in the book, might start to get a queer feeling, you know, disturbing, perhaps frightening when they hear certain music, but then would just immediately retreat from the music, turn it off or block their ears, so that they did not, you know, progress to a full-blown seizure. So yeah, they didn't go all the way. Now, indeed, certain styles of, you know, free jazz have always made some people, you know, physically nauseous, while others extremely happy. So yeah, it all goes back to the person. It's quite subjective. Now, there is, of course, you know, a continuum between the pathological states that Sacks discusses and everyday experiences of music. So there was this phenomenon he mentioned, which was quite interesting. It's called brain warps, which is when irritating tunes and, you know, jingles just get lodged in our heads. You know, when a song's stuck in your head, practically, that's a brain warp, a musical one. And that's only one step away from a full-on, you know, a full-blown musical hallucination. And, oh, and Sacks also, he was able to compare it to that obsessive ticking of Tourette's syndrome. Now, it's intriguing, too, because to wonder where, on the continuum, certain historical figures could be placed, going all the way from Tchaikovsky to Beethoven, it kind of pinpoints exactly where they stand. Now, at the other end of the continuum, so we have the musical ones, so we got the Tchaikovskys, the Beethovens, all those. And then at the other end, like Sachs describes as people who are in music, who do not seem to understand or feel music, you know, at all. Yeah, now I kind of pity them, but oh well. And yeah, and there's even profound cases of amusia, which is like kind of a dysfunction where people just can't bear, you know, listening to music at all. So yeah, well, throughout the book, Sachs was able to describe, you know, several rare congenital diseases and disorders, especially calling on to Williams syndrome, in which people never, you know, develop mentally beyond the abilities of a toddler, but have an extraordinary musical faculty, playing back, you know, any piece on just from the first hearing. So yeah, it's quite amusing. And though he never exactly spells it out, the melancholy supposition arises that a repression of musical potential is practically the price we pay for, you know, for, how do I say it, for the power of control. Yeah, do you get what I mean? So sometimes when we're trying to control the environment so much, we filter out, you know, the music, and we eventually miss out on a huge part of it. So yeah, this book was quite amusing. I really want you to read it. So I'm gonna provide a link to a sample of the audiobook, okay? And maybe you can give it a listen, and if you like it, feel free to read it. So yeah, because honestly, the power of music goes much, much further than what I just said. And he was able to describe it just perfectly. Yeah, it's quite nice. I mean, music is irresistible, it's haunting, it's unforgettable, and Oliver Sacks tells us exactly why. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to this bite-sized episode, and feel free to reach out to me if you have any other books you'd like me to maybe read and then review. Anyways, I'll talk to you soon. Bye!